May 22nd. And we have one bill on today's, Senate Bill 822. I have Mr. McDonald, the VFW of Washington County. Are you just going to have one person or more come up for that? Okay. And then Mr. Warnock.
Identify yourself.
Okay. Chairman Barker, members of the committee, my name is Robert Thornhill. I live in Beaverton, Oregon. I appear before you in my capacity as chairman of Oregon's VFW Employment and Civil Service Committee, an unpaid volunteer position, and as a member of Portland's VFW Post 1442 and Beaverton's American Legion Post 124. I appear in support of Senate Bill 822. And with your permission, I'll summarize my testimony.
Please.
Since the time of the Civil War, veterans have been given some degree of preference for appointment to federal civil service positions. The current preference system stems from the Veterans Preference Act of 1944. As a former director of personnel for several U.S. Army commands, I know the Act has served the nation and veterans well. It has attracted well-qualified, seasoned, disciplined veterans with proven leadership and teamwork skills to the federal workforce. Today, veterans comprise a little over 25% of the total federal non-postal workforce. Oregon has adopted veterans' preference of public policy. Its statutes presently prescribe a form of veterans' preference. However, it is preference in name only. As explained in my detailed testimony, it does not, in practice, provide any meaningful preference. Moreover, the current system does not provide for any transparency. Even if the system provided for preference, the veteran would never know if he or she had received it. And even if she had not, there is no avenue of redress, therefore no enforcement. Oregon's veteran preference system contains an implied promise of real, meaningful preference. However, as indicated, it is an empty, false promise. Now is the time to give meaning to that promise. To quote from Governor Kulongoski's May 2006 memorial address, quote, "All veterans deserve every laurel, every honor, every tribute, and every word of praise this nation can bestow. But ceremonies and solemn words, no matter how heartfelt, are not enough. We must not repay real service with lip service." End quote. The current Oregon system of veterans' preference is no more than lip service to the principle of veterans' preference. Senate Bill 822 makes the promise of veterans' preference real and meaningful. It contains several important features of Title V of the United States Code, which have made Veterans Preference Act of 1944 so effective. Among them is the most important restriction that an appointing official may not pass over a veteran or disabled veteran to hire a non-veteran with a lower qualifications evaluation. The federal system has been tested and proven effective for over half a century. In sum, Senate Bill 822 has the elements necessary for an effective and meaningful system of providing preference to veterans. It provides tangible proof that Oregon values the service of veterans. And in doing so, it imposes no undue, onerous bureaucratic burden on management. In testifying, I have tried to express the strong support of this bill of my comrades present for this hearing. Among them is George Winslow, District Commander of VFW, and my post commander, 1442, Marion Ellsworth. We don't advocate this bill for ourselves, for as you can see, we are rather mature. We've had our day. No, it's not for us, but it's for the men and women bearing the brunt of our nation's current battles in Iraq, Afghanistan, and elsewhere in the war on terror. They are all Oregon's sons, daughters, spouses, brothers, sisters, fathers, mothers, and yes, our grandchildren. They deserve what SB 822 provides. Irrespective of what they may think of the war, in Iraq, men and women in uniform don't have the option of choosing their wars. To quote from Lord Tennyson's poem, theirs not to make reply, theirs not to question why, theirs but to do and die. And as with the Light Brigade of that famous poem, American men and women in uniform today are doing their job and doing it well. Unfortunately, some will not come home alive. The motto of the VFW goes something like this, quote, honor the dead by caring for the living. SB 822 is one small way of honoring the dead by taking care of the living, and especially of those who come home less than whole. I urge its passage. In concluding this summary, I want to thank Senator Deckert and Representative Barker and Bo Kist for introducing this bill, and especially their staff and the staff of Legislative Council who labor anonymously but make things happen. Thank you for holding this hearing, for hearing me out. I welcome any questions you may have.
Thank you. Are there any questions? Thank you. Mr. McDonald.
Matt McDonald, United Veterans of Oregon. What this bill does essentially is it brings Oregon up to the federal standards. It's a good bill. We recommend it do pass.
Thank you.
Greg Warnock, Oregon War Veterans Association. As most of you know, we proposed even more aggressive legislation with regard to hiring of vets in the state and the local levels. But because of the extreme time constraints in this year's legislative system, we weren't able to get our amendments through the process like we wanted. We will reserve those issues for the next legislative session and probably correct a couple of things on this bill as well. In the interim, however, we fully support this bill and request your passage of it.
Thank you. Any questions?
I have a question.
Yep. Representative Cowan.
Thank you. My question is directed at whomever would like to answer it. Going back to Mr. Thornhill's testimony, I'm looking on page 5 of the written testimony, and point 4 that you say is probably the most important element, places the burden on appointing officials to justify passing over one or more qualified veterans to select a non-veteran with a lower qualifications evaluation. And then that's been written into the amendments in section 2, sub 2 and sub 4. Upon written request of the veteran or disabled veteran, the employer in writing shall provide the employer's reasons for the decision not to appoint the veteran. When we have definitive testing involved, I understand adding some preference points or whatever, but once you get into a hiring process, particularly in some of the administrative sorts of levels, one might interview a selection of...
Sorry.
That's okay. Interview a panel of individuals who are deemed qualified for the position, and it's at that point that the hiring panel... no longer has test scores and things of that nature. The ultimate decision to hire, particularly in an administrative position, is sort of a, if you'll pardon my terminology, gut feeling about who might be best suited in your organization or whatever, and very difficult at that point to then supply a definitive reason for why did I select candidate D out of candidates A, B, C, D, and E. And I'd like to hear from you how you feel that response would be required under this legislation. What kind of a response would be required under this legislation?
Chair Baca, Representative Cohen, I have personal experience with this. When I first got out of the service, I applied for a job with the state of Oregon. My score was higher than the other person that was trying for the particular job. I had a master's degree in education, curriculum, and instruction. This job dealt with training. I had 10 years of experience in this at both the elementary, middle, high school, and college level. I was not hired, and when I asked why I was not hired, I was told because I was a veteran, and veterans don't work out very good at working for the state. This would eliminate that.
Follow up.
Please. Could I piggyback on that?
Go ahead, yeah.
As I indicated, I've served as a director of personnel for many major Army commands. And any professional human resource manager today, when they go to fill a job, they'll conduct a job analysis. They will identify those knowledge, skills, and ability that are necessary to perform that job. And you'll usually find those in the vacancy announcements. And each candidate's qualifications, education, and experience are measured against those. So again, I will admit there is some judgment involved in qualification determination, but in a professional job, you can usually identify specifically what is required, who has them, and who doesn't have them. And most organizations, personnel, professional offices, rate and rank their candidates, so candidates will be rated from the top candidate on down. So if the veteran appears to be the top candidate, but somebody feels that the number 10 candidate, non-veteran, would be better, fine. If they can justify it according to this bill, they can select them. But I would suggest it would be difficult to put forward a bona fide justification.
Chair Barker, Representative Cowan, if I could add to that as well. I have personal experience also. In 1989, I was the highest scored employee candidate for a Department of Fish and Wildlife position. They had just started the volunteer coordination program, and I was not selected. They selected a lady instead of me who had no volunteer experience, and I had had 12 years of experience in managing volunteers, as well as military experience, and had a higher point scale than the other candidates on the panel, and I was not selected for that. This bill is a good bill. The other thing I wanted to say is it matches the federal hiring program. It's not something that's completely weird. It isn't a whacked out state of Oregon program. It matches the federal program,
of which we have many.
Representative Shaw.
Yeah, thanks. Now, this language. Excuse me, Representative.
Were you? I'm sorry.
Well, I guess that, yes, thank you. That last point is interesting. I would like confirmation, I guess, that the verbiage that I was referring to specifically does match federal requirements. And follow-up, that is where my question is. I'm sincerely disheartened to hear that you have had personal experiences that where you might well have been the most qualified individual. I too have hired many, many people, and when we get to a point, particularly at the managerial level, of having evaluated folks and brought that handful of people forward that are qualified, that meet the qualifications, that have the educational background, the experiential background, or whatever, there is a point at which then the final panel that's talking to folks no longer has a specific reference to go on. It's which personality appears to match the needs of the organization for a variety of reasons. And that would be very difficult to get subjective about in an explanation. And that's why I'm worried about this language.
Chair Barker, Representative Cowan, if I could just add one more thing. These experiences that we've had are precisely what fuels our passion to sit here today and to bring bills just like this. If we didn't have negative experiences like that in the state system, we probably wouldn't be volunteering our time to try to make changes like this.
And this bill does follow the federal standards. That's why we introduced the bill to bring Oregon standards up to the federal standards.
I don't have a copy of the federal standard with me, but if one wanted to look at one place you can find it, it's in Title V, Code of Federal Regulations, Chapter 302. and it's pretty detailed.
I believe that's being researched. Thank you.
Thank you.
Just briefly, I'm at National Cemetery in my district, and they're burying folks there, right and left. And you guys had bad experiences. You know what? In the end, that's not what this is about. These men and women have went out and served their country and gained skills, to be quite frank with you.
Yeah.
And I think that, I don't know about your experiences, but I think they bring a lot to the table, and we've asked them to do incredible sacrifices, not just for themselves, but their family sacrificing. And I'm all for giving them a leg up, because I think it just adds to their compensation, which is woeful to begin with. But this language in no way, shape, or form prohibits any government entity here in the state of Oregon from hiring someone who's not a veteran, even when there's veterans in the pool. And I really think, and I go off my instincts all the time, but I agree with the preferential language. I think we owe it to these men and women, and I'm willing to take the risk that somebody's instincts may not be satisfied if a veteran gets the preferential hiring. So I guess I'm just going to throw my opinion, and there's really not a question.
Thank you. And I just would add that I know in the years when Representative Scott and I served, there was the draft was out there, and so people were called up and or volunteered, and usually either 2, 3, or 4 year term of enlistment, and then they came back, and their friends who didn't get drafted or didn't go in were already moving on their career job, and this would give you kind of a catch up.
Yeah.
And it wasn't total unlimited help, although for disabled people they got the 10 points they could use again, but it was a good program to help a lot of people come back and get started again. Wait for you to stand at ease for a few minutes. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
I think that federal law may be stronger.
Okay.
Than what Oregon is. And we're going to, you know, this bill is geared more towards what Oregon's doing and making it a little bit stronger, but based on what Oregon has been doing.
Okay.
So it isn't matching federal law exactly.
Okay. Representative Cowan, we just got information back. In fact, maybe just if you could.
I spoke to Sean Brennan in Legislative Council, and he indicated the bill isn't exactly mirroring federal law. He indicated federal law is probably has a stronger preference in federal hiring. This particular bill, it is adding a little more substance to what Oregon has been doing in the preference in awarding preferences, but it doesn't match the federal law exactly.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Senator Deckert, would you like to?
I'm just here.
Okay. Okay, thank you, and I appreciate you coming over to do that. There's a guy that knows either talk about it or get it passed. He understands that system. Is there any further questions?
Comment, Mr. Chair?
Yes.
In looking at page 3 of the bill, paragraph 4, line 7 through 12, as I read that, it says, if an employer does not appoint a veteran or disabled veteran to a vacant civil service position, upon the written request of the veteran, the employer in writing shall provide the proposed RIE the reason why they weren't hired. That last line, 10, 11, and 12, the employer, i.e. the state of Oregon, public, may base a decision not to appoint the veteran or disabled veteran solely on the veteran's ability, veteran's merits and qualifications with respect to the vacant civil service position. As I read that, it appears to me, as Representative Cowan raised, it's still, even if there's a three-person element determining the merits and qualifications, they still have the latitude that she's talking about. I don't see that it says arbitrarily you hire the veteran or you don't hire the veteran. It still falls back to who's the most qualified.
As it appears.
I think it's important to have that discussion on the record, however, and I appreciate that.
It is. And I think, too, and if you had people and you did kind of grade them and the veteran was number 5, then obviously he wouldn't jump to number 1. But if there's any way, they'd have to explain why. then that could be done as well. I mean, there could be legitimate explanations, just as you talked about, in those kind of managerial positions.
In reality, the explanation to that would be you came out number five.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing.
Yeah. General? General Caldwell?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, Brigadier General Mike Caldwell, Deputy Director of the Military Department. I think pretty much everything's been said with respect to the bill, and I don't want to overtalk it, but I think from a practitioner's standpoint, and we see this all the time at the Military Department, there's a certain art to getting your application through the first screen of the state hiring process. And if you don't know that little techniques that are required to make sure that you get enough points on your application, your PD-100, you don't even get to the next step, which is perhaps an interview. What this is going to do is maybe catapult these folks past that because of their lack of artistic ability. It's not a perfect system. It's a very subjective system. It has very little objectivity to it. And drawing that correlation between what a person puts on that PD-100 and what that job requires them to do, and the person who reads that, you can put it to three different readers, they're going to come up with three different scores. So I think what this bill is probably going to do more than anything else is just give that little extra bump so they get to the next stage. And the next stage, it may very well turn out that they don't meet that particular job qualification. And there's an out in here, as Representative Boquist pointed out. But I think the important thing of this is that might be the difference between getting them to the next stage, simply from ignorance and how they fill out the PD-100.
Okay, thank you. Ms. Brown, do you want to testify? Please.
Chair Barker, members of the committee, thank you for indulging me and allowing me to say a few words. What I wanted to offer.
You identify yourself for the record.
I'm sorry, for the record, my name is Paula Brown. I'm the Deputy Director at the Oregon Department of Veterans Affairs. And the department is supportive of legislation that brings additional benefit to veterans. We believe that this bill would do that. What I did want to offer in hearing the discussion about what would be expected relative to the notification to a veteran, it's my understanding that there was some compromising language that was developed. Initially, the bill would have required notification or justification with each time the veteran was not hired. It's my understanding that there was some compromise made relative to providing that justification upon request. In hearing that, I did some research on that and would certainly provide this to the committee and specifically Representative Callan for your reference if you would like. And this relates to civil service and how the veteran's preference is applied. And one of the areas that it talks about is the competitive examination portion. And the question that I was hearing was whether or not that portion of this bill mirrors the federal standard. And there is a portion, and I've underlined it here on page 6 of 12 pages. I'm sure you're not interested in all 12. But it does have specific language that a preference eligible who is passed over on a list upon request is entitled upon request to a copy of the agency's reasons for the passover and the examining officer's response. So if the question was, if that piece was in line with federal standards, I think the answer would be yes, and just wanted to provide that information if the committee would find it helpful.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any no further questions? I'll close the public hearing on Senate Bill 822 and open a work session on Senate Bill 822.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 822A to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Schaffer moves Senate Bill 822A to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion?
Man, only to say this, you know, I don't care how people feel about this war. I know I don't want to go fight one. I don't want my daughter to go fight one. And there may be people out there that send people off the war that they don't want to go fight one either. But this is the last day of our committee, Mr. Chair, and I really, you said it accurately. These folks are out there doing this job, and their careers are lagging, and we need to help them catch up. That's all we're doing here. It's a great bill. I urge your aye vote. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Call the roll, please.
Representative Boquist?
Aye.
Representative Cowan?
Aye.
Representative Shawcross?
Aye.
Representative Scott?
Aye.
Chair Barker?
Aye. And Representative Boquist, would you carry this? Okay. Thank you. Work session is closed on Senate Bill 22A. We have no more bills coming from the Senate, so this will be our last House Veterans Committee meeting of the session. And I also would like to point out the VFW and Mr. McDonald have a great uniform display down on the first floor in the Galleria. If you haven't seen it yet, it would be a night worth your time to go down and take a look at that.
Thank you for your help, Chairman.
Thank you.
I want to thank you all for your help.
And Mr. Chair, may I? I want to thank you and the entire committee members and all these men and women that have helped me learn about just Veterans Affairs. That's okay. God bless you. I'm with you. So thanks a lot.
Okay. Thank you for being here today. Meeting adjourned.